and welcome to Radio Free Brooklyn.
This is Lost and Rewound.
I'm your host, Jimmy Hoffman.
And I'm your other host, Alon Danziger.
And it's time to get embarrassed with us.
Howdy, folks. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Welcome again to another edition of Lost and Rewound here on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Howdy, indeed. We are out in the Old West.
That's funny, actually, you say that because, we do tape these shows a little far in advance, and I'm headed out west in a little bit.
Oh, really? I got to go on the old trail.
I think I'll do a little bit of trail hopping. Cool. I would hope so.
Where are you headed to?
Portland, Oregon.
Oh, that should be a good time, man.
And then spending a little time in Vancouver, Canada as well.
I've heard that's like one of the most beautiful places in the country, man.
So next show after this, we look forward to giving you some, if I can at least make it happen, some remote interviews with people. I don't know if we're going to have tapes per se, but I certainly look forward to the chance to talk with some fellow folks who I know out there, as opposed to folkish fellows, fellow folks out in the West, just as well as what they may have. You may be asking, what do they have?
Hey, man, I'm telling you, if there's any place in the country with people with tapes, Portland seems like an indie place.
That's right. Lost and Rewound is specializing in the world of tape recordings from yesteryears. And if you have anything that you want to contribute, lostandrewound@gmail.com is your email address to send to.
My best friend growing up. I've known this guy for, holy bejeez, 27 years going on. Been a long, yeah. Long time. Yeah. His name is Zachary Poots. He actually, at this current point in time, is working mostly with stop motion, doing animation. But he's also done a lot of work doing gaffing on movie sets and commercials and the like. So again, welcome, Zach.
Hello, guys.
Where are you calling from on this day?
I am in disgustingly humid Cape Canaveral, Florida. I'm visiting my mother for about a week, and I can't be outside for more than 10 seconds. Otherwise, it feels like, my soul is melting.
Sorry. And you left New York. It is so nice in New York right now.
It is actually really nice.
This week
of course
is,
it fucking is.
It's like, leave, we've had, I'm telling you, man, we've had like the last month was like winter. June comes, it gets boiling hot, and now, like, the moment you left town, it was like, oh, so nice, I said.
2 weeks ago, we were talking about a tape that you and Jimmy got a chance to record when you were but babes, and it was Josh and Jeff on a doom journey.
On that doom journey.
Do you recall this at all?
Yeah, I do. I remember there being a few of them.
There are a few of them?
I never found any of the other tapes. You might have them somewhere in your basement, or maybe they got tossed out, but I only ever found the one. Damn.
Well, the tape had a little bit of an issue, to say the least.
Basically, either we were off mic by mistake and we just didn't talk into the mic for a third of it, or we were trying to write the story for the rest of the, for the second half of it, and we were off mic while we were like creating the rest of the story, and we just left the thing recording. So we don't really know, but there's somewhere you can kind of hear, and it sounds like a lot of action is happening, like somewhere very close to the recorder, but not actually being recorded.
That's incredible.
But what's really great, man, and again, I only got to listen to this for the first time when we did air it a couple weeks ago, and I've only listened to like the first few minutes of it, but I definitely feel, and we'll see this from the clip. I'll bring it up. Actually, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. Actually, now
please don't. There, because there are many cats in many bags
many,
about
many
to be
cats.
Unveiled.
And you know, cats in bags is like super fun for them. All right, so why don't we throw some of that on and let's take a listen.
We listened to the first portion before it got garbled up two episodes ago. What we are going to uncover on this episode is what I actually found out is the remainder. And there is about a half hour's worth, of which we will listen piece by piece. And you let me know what you think after this first one.
We gotta trick this thing. It has really strong bone arrows and they're metal. We gotta trick it to kill it.
Okay, I'll get the rope.
I got a good idea. Can you be fast and slick?
Yes.
So, what you have to do is tie the rope to this tree to the other tree and be very fast about it. Then he'll trip over it and we'll stab it.
Okay, here I go.
Whoa! The goblin tripped over the rope and Josh was about to stab it. But instead of hitting the goblin, he chopped the rope. And the goblin was gone. He vanished.
It must be the Vanisher of Doom.
Again? How could he live? We killed him, the Minotaur.
He must have vanished into a person.
Yeah, he must have.
And now he's good. I don't know what can do about that stupid old, shitting old Vanisher of Doom.
Don't say a curse, Josh.
But he's dumb!
Alright. Now, we gotta get that Vanisher of Doom before he disappears again. We have to kill him while he's a human.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Claus Vane and his assistant, Vanisher of Doom, were talking about the two heroes.
Vanisher of Doom, they almost killed me!
You are Vanisher of Doom, you fool! You don't know anything!
But they almost killed me! I was a goblin, I tripped over a stupid rope! And they almost stabbed me, but luckily you teleported me here.
Yes. Well, I don't care if you die. I care if I die. If you die, I don't care. So, just turn into something bigger, much bigger, bigger than a Minotaur even, and kill them easily, or else I'll kill you.
Okay, master. But how about a T-Rex? Will that be good?
No. How about a giant? A one-eyed giant.
You mean a cyclops?
Yep, a giant cyclops.
That sounds good. I'll kick their butt so hard. They won't be able to sit down for 55 weeks.
Not 55 weeks, 55 years.
That sounds better.
Now go!
It'll take me a little while to turn into a one-eyed cyclops. It's so big that it might take me a pretty long time.
Get, you have at least 6 months to get back. And if you don't get back by 6 months, when you come back, you'll be banished. And you all know what banished means. Killed!
Okay, 6 months?
Right, 6 months.
I'll try, Your Majesty.
6 months is a very reasonable amount of time for to be giving your underling the chance to... You get the job done. As a Cyclops, too, no less.
So, yeah, let's just give me your first impressions, and what did you think about that?
Okay, first thing I thought was I was kind of pissed off that I sound so much like Chazoo from Dragon Ball Z.
And how I sound like a miniature version of myself.
you already got the you're working on your tour guide voice, and you were like already ready to go.
I'm telling you.
I sounded like a little bitch. Trying to do cool voices.
That's part of the discovery of listening to yourself as a younger person. I mean, my entire catalog of Danziger Zone is what the thing I used to call it when I would record myself and other friends. Yeah, exactly. It's funny when you take it out of context.
The Danziger Zone.
And, I sounded like a little girl. I mean, that's the whole – everybody sounds like little girls, just not Jimmy. Jimmy had a refined, mature voice for – well, actually, let me clarify. So how old were you guys again? He says you were 6. I don't believe him at all. How old were y'all?
Well, when we were neighbors, right? That was the...
Yeah. And what...
I was on 10th Street.
Yeah, and you moved when you were 8, right?
At the latest.
At the very
latest. I was in Florida when I was 9.
Yeah.
I see.
You moved to 12th Street before you went to Florida, right?
Yes. We were in 12th Street for a couple of years because I bounced from 107 to 321.
He's talking about PS 107 and PS 321.
This is all the Park Slope school politics.
Old school, exactly. But yeah, so exactly. So that's why when I think about it, if this was on, because when me and Zach knew each other, because we were next door neighbors growing up, and then he moved away again, like probably when he was 6 or 7, like he moved out. I'm almost a year older than him. I'm 9 months older. So I'm pretty sure that I was like, he was like 5 or he was 6 and I was 7 or he was 5 and I was 6.
It's incredible because the attention to detail with all the creatures is really magnificent. I don't even think I knew what a Cyclops was at that age.
We were like kind of a real, I guess, detail-oriented kids. We were like, I think even not too like long after that, we had started learning HTML and we were putting together little like shit websites.
Yeah, we had
just as like very little kids.
We built a website where, remember Nosferatu?
Sorry, it's actually Nosfartasu.
it was. You're right. It was Nosfartasu.
sure. indeed.
But it was basically a website where we had came up with sort of a storyline and sort of like we were trying to figure out a game where you would be like a vampire, right? That was the idea. Everyone would be a vampire and you had like vampiric abilities. And then we just used, I guess the whole cool thing was you'd have like a little character bio we made on the website that we did in HTML.
Was it Tripod or was it Angel Fire or what did you use?
It was, it might have been, it was one of those, definitely, right?
Yeah, it was
GeoCities. GeoCities.
The other white
exactly. Beast. Exactly. There were 3 back then, exactly. And then we used, for everyone's image, they had a little sprite from Guilty Gear. You know that video game, Guilty Gear?
Not familiar, but I take your word for it.
It had like a little like pose like he was waiting for fighting. Guilty Gear was sort of like, imagine Street Fighter if all the characters were punks. Cross punks.
Like Final Fight, basically, in a sense.
Sort of.
Take all the Final Fight enemies and put them into a fighting game.
Exactly. It wasn't so apparent in this clip, but it was the last time that we played the other clip, was that in the first time when we started the story, Zach, you were definitely the one writing the story, and I was just along for the ride. And this one, I definitely feel like I was getting a little bit, maybe I was starting to get my flow a little bit more. But the first time, like you were literally cueing me. We could hear you off mic telling me what to say. You'd be like, all right, now you say, okay, cool. And I'd be like, okay, cool. now you're going to say we're going to do this. And like, literally, you were writing the whole thing. You've always been like the more creative of the two of us when it came to storytelling and stuff like that. It just was never really my forte, you know? I was more of like the character guy. And then you were the guy, the brains of the operation.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. When I think back, you know, action figures and all that, to me, it was just right on a... right on even ground there. I mean, you had a lot of the cool toys and stuff. You know, we definitely played a lot of your stuff, if I remember.
True.
I had that like piece of shit Captain Planet toy, and I just buried it.
I was super hype on the action figures. That's true. I honestly feel like you were the one that masterminded this tape, man. I feel like you were probably the one that said we should do a storyline, like a history or whatever, like the idea that we did. I'm trying to think. As far as other creative endeavors when we were kids, We did the website. What else did we do besides doing that website, too?
A lot of, like, drawing, a whole lot of action figures.
Yeah.
A lot of action figures. You know, it's just sort of a, I think anything we could get our hands on.
Do you remember going in the backyard on 10th Street and just catching bugs and cutting them in half? I definitely remember that.
Yeah, I was like a little sadistic bastard back then. I mean, who would have thought with that, like, tiny clown voice that I was born with?
I remember salting slugs. I remember getting pill bugs and crushing them, cutting worms into 10 pieces. The classic little boy stuff.
Yeah, this makes me feel better that clearly there was no differentiation of city boys and country boys in terms of things to pass the time when you couldn't go playing video games at all. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, our dad, you know, my dad was like, you guys got to go to the park and hit each other with sticks.
That, I remember that was the old one.
We used to do that a lot.
Yep, he'd go, get out of the house, go to the park and hit each other with sticks. So he'd be like, okay.
You sound like Officer O'Malley when you say that.
I always try to do an Irish accent and it comes out like totally off and not at all what your dad sounded like. Like, I can't do your dad's voice.
I have a question for you, Jim, about that clip. At this point in our life, because obviously this is a big deal for us when it happened, but do you think we had already encountered Dragon Ball Z, and that's why, like, we knew how important it was for waiting.
55 weeks, not 55 years.
You know, I think we might have.
Or actually, the other way around, yeah.
I definitely remember watching Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z at a really young age and really influencing, I think, a lot of the way that we thought about storyline. You're exactly right. I need to be charging.
Action is, like, 55 weeks of nothing happening. That's really what a good story is. We, like, learned, like, the worst lessons.
You know, I think about Dragon Ball Z. When Goku was trying to become Super Saiyan...
For the whole entire series,
It was at least a season where he was becoming Super Saiyan. If you think about how that season, say it was on for 6 months, and I was, like, 7 at the time, that was, like... It's, like, 15% of my life I was waiting for this guy to become Super Saiyan.
We have more to listen to, gentlemen. I believe that more answers will be uncovered about what kind of influences you guys were clearly grasping from in this next clip. Shall we?
Meanwhile, the two heroes walk into a cliff. A cliff.
Say, whoa, Jeff, that's a long fall.
Whoa, Jeff, that's a long, long fall.
Then let's stop walking and then we won't fall down.
I think I'm sick, Jeff.
Well, we better look down that cliff. Maybe it'll feel you better.
We better look down that cliff and maybe it might make you feel better.
How could it make me feel better? It'll make me feel like I'm gonna fall like this. Ah!
Josh started falling. And Vanisher of Doom sneaked behind Jeff and pushed them down. Luckily, Jeff and Josh hanged on to a ledge. Vanisher of Doom thought they were dead, but they really were. But they really weren't.
I've killed them. Widow Master sees me. He'll be so glad.
Meanwhile,
you say 2 months has passed and he's not back. 2 months has passed and he's not back. Where is he?
Right here, Your Majesty. I've killed them. I pushed them off a cliff.
I know everything. You didn't. They're hanging onto the ledge still.
You've got to be kidding me.
Look into my crystal ball. Then you'll see.
You're right. I can't believe it.
They got long fingers, you know. So, you got 4 more months left.
Okay, how about I step on their fingers? Then they'll see how they like that.
Okay, luckily there's only one ledge.
Who
Okay, I'm going. I can't hold on any longer, Josh.
You have to.
Yeah, because you're holding down to my foot.
Yeah, and then we'll both die, and there'll be no heroes to beat Claw's vein. So you better hang on, or else the whole village will be destroyed, and then they'll blame it all on us.
But we'll be already dead.
They'll blame it on us. They won't bury us. They'll burn us to bits and throw our ashes in the crack in the garbage can.
How do you know about Claw's vein?
I can see him. I can tell, cause he has a crystal ball, and he looks in it and he sees us. So that's how he knows that we're not dead yet.
Oh, I thought you saw the rock from here, and you saw him, and you heard what he's saying.
Well, I just look up, and I don't see no clouds. All I see is Claw's vein, and he can hear me speaking right this instant.
Then we're gonna have to somehow break that crystal ball, or else he might be able to control us soon.
Yeah, let's do that, and we have to, or else if you don't do it with me, after we don't die, I'll have to kill you.
That's pretty casual there for hanging on a ledge. It's just like, I can just envision like two people just like hanging on being like, hey, so how's the wife and kids? You know, it's been better.
Meanwhile.
Exactly.
Yeah, good thing we had long fingers, I was thinking.
It would have been a mess otherwise.
The thing I really like, and it was in the first clip that we did, you said, hey, Jimmy, can you be fast and slick? And I was just like, yeah.
And that became your, like, trademark.
Yo, that is... It was so funny because I just thought to myself, yo, that's exactly how I describe myself in two words.
Fast and slick.
Fast and slick.
I love the pauses between the microphone pass-offs. That might be my favorite thing.
You're exactly right. We had to pause so we could both... Because he had that little crappy mic.
And it back and forth. Like,
you're exactly...
A good, like, beat of downtime between everything. It's... Like, amazing.
Oh, and then there's a couple instances where we'll be talking and you'll tell we definitely forgot to talk into the mic. And we'll just,
yeah.
Oh, wait a second.
I caught that. That was so great.
And again, the fact that the bad guy's name is Claw's Vein.
Still trying to figure that one out.
I don't know what that was. I thought his name was Paul for a second. I was like, okay, that makes sense.
That'd be a great name for a troll.
Well, Paul is his dad's name. As the villain of the story. The only thing I can think of that Claw's Vein sounds a little similar to was the bad guy in Inspector Gadget.
Oh.
Claw.
Dr. Claw.
Dr. Claw, yeah.
Yeah.
And remember,
I'll get you, Gadget, exactly. Next time.
That's perfect. That's... That was a really good Claw, man. You're exactly right. And you never see him. You only saw his arm in the armchair.
That always pissed me off. I'm like, damn it! I want to know what Dr. Claw looks like! And then they came out with that, dare I say, really shitty live-action version where they actually gave Dr. Claw a face, and it just ruined it for me.
It was over at that point. Who did they get to play him?
Who? Dr. Claw?
Yeah.
I forget the guy's name.
What the hell's his name?
British fellow.
Now, who played Inspector Gadget?
Matthew Broderick played Inspector Gadget.
Oh, it was Matthew Broderick. You're right.
I forget
that's
who...
That's god-awful.
I forget who played Dr. Claw, though.
Jack Black.
No. It was some very handsome British fellow.
The whole thing could have come out of Inspector Gadget. I mean, the, like, 80s cutback to, like, the villain planning.
Yeah.
You know? And then the crystal ball, like, always watching what the characters are doing type crap, you know?
Also reminds me of Power Rangers.
Somewhat, yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, Rita Repulsa. Who? What was the name of the guy? Zed. That was the big orb in the head in the tube.
I was thinking that was the villain that came after Rita Repulsa.
The guy who looked like he had metal over like musculature, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That guy was much cooler than Rita.
Definitely. And more diabolical.
And then there was the cat beast dude.
Man, you've lost me already.
You don't know, like the Goldar or whatever.
Goldar, yeah, that's right.
Like a blue head, a cat face, wings.
Oh, I think I actually know exactly.
Yeah, so basically all the bad guys in that show were just an acid trip.
Actually, you know, other than old cartoons and stuff, it really made me think of the Cliffs of Insanity. Like, I mean, that was like one of my favorite movies when I was a kid, The Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Classic.
Yeah, and there was like that scene where, Cary Elles, who is it?
Yeah, Cary Elles, yeah.
Yeah, he's got to like hang on. And I remember when I was a kid, I thought that was super scary.
That's probably where you got the inspiration for, man.
I'm trying to even remember the last time I saw it. Neverending Story freaked me out as a kid.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, kids like horse sinking into a swamp.
So tragic.
There was some creepiness in that film for sure. I definitely, you know, you're not wrong, because I definitely feel like I had a nightmare or two from it.
There's always some traumatizing image from a movie or a TV show that stays with you. For me, the toys coming to life and Look Who's Talking To. I swear to God, to this day, I still recall that first scene.
That's pretty good, man. That's pretty good.
Let's keep it up.
All right. So meanwhile.
Hey, here comes Vanisher of Doom. You better climb up, and then I'll think we're there. Let's put our fake hands on it.
Okay.
All right. Now let's behind that. Let's be hide behind that ledge right there.
Okay.
Their fingers are right there. I can't believe they're still holding down. Leap.
Hey, they're fake fingers. I can't believe it, but they're slippery too.
Drop. Oh no, they went under my foot. Trip. Ah! Vanisher of Doom fell off the cliff, and they thought he was dead. But he vanished again and went back to his master's hut.
Where is that Vanisher of Doom? He hasn't killed them yet.
I can't believe it. He should be dead.
He should. But then the stupid old Claus Vane teleported him, and now he's laying there on the floor of Claus Vane's house.
You mean rock?
Yes, whatever.
Suddenly, the ledge that they were holding onto broke, and they both fell. They landed on the ground with a thump. Thump! And they hurt themselves very, very, very badly. Oh, Josh, are you alive?
I think so.
We gotta get a life potion. Quickly. If we could stand up.
But I can't stand.
That's because a rock fell on your leg. I'll carry you to a town. And then we'll get a life potion.
What? Alright, we're out of town.
We better open that door. It says potion house. Excuse me, sir. We have to get two life potions.
Okay.
Two life potions coming up. That will be $10,000. This is very important, sir. Please don't make us pay. Okay, only this once.
We're only being in this town this once. Jeff whispered to Josh.
Go, 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 go. Go, go, go. I feel better, don't you?
Not really.
Oh, you still feel sick, right?
Yeah.
Let's go to the doctor.
Okay.
A few hours later, we're at the doctor.
Are we there yet?
Yes.
to go to the doctor, that would be $2. I can handle that. All right. Now, I got $4 because me and him. Oh, only him. All right, that would be $2. Okay, I already paid. Let's go to the doctor's office. Excuse me? Doctor? My friend doesn't feel that good. He's getting very sick. Okay, I think some very quick.
Am I better yet?
No. Just a few minutes you have to wait.
Okay? You sound like you're Spanish, but Chinese.
Oh, yes. Gracias, I am. Okay, let's start with the stuff. Now, all you have to do is lie in bed for a few days. And you gotta go to sleep. And you
say, but we're travelers, we don't have any beds. We live a long way from here.
Remember the blankets that we brought? What did you say? Oh, I was just saying the blankets that we brought. Okay. Well, bye-bye. Good luck traveling to wherever you want to go. Good luck. Bye-bye.
Oh, Lord. Wow, that was funny.
That was so Lord. Good.
What I've learned is that when you play Final Fantasy or any kind of RPGs, probably you just associate that the potion house is basically no different than your average Brooklyn bodega.
Yeah, 90s racism.
I'm telling you, I don't know that I've ever heard you, even in childhood or now, that I really remember you doing an accent, like doing voices, man. I love how even as a kid, I said, you sound Spanish or Chinese. I thought, honestly, now, if I think about it, to me, you sounded Indian or Jamaican. There was like a little Jamaican at one point.
I think there was like a Scottish twang.
It was everything in between.
I mean, just the simple fact that you did this accent, it was, I mean, that was priceless, dude. That was truly something, I have to say.
Good God, that was a nightmare. I didn't even know.
Dude, the fact that it was you and not me is like, to me, super startling, because I will adapt my accent to whoever I'm speaking to. So if I'm in a situation and someone's speaking to me in a Chinese accent, I will just speak to them in a Chinese accent back, mm-hmm. which can be perceived by many. It's very racist. People think it's a very racist thing to do. I tell people, like, oh, I'm just trying to have them feel comfortable with me, so I want to speak in a way that they understand. So if a guy comes up to me and he goes, which way do I go to get to Times Square? I'm like, oh, right here. Walk down the street, you go two blocks, and you see a big sign there.
You're just on your own doom journey, right?
I did that one time, just like that. And the guy goes, oh, thank you. So hard, everybody in the city, nobody knows how to talk, but you know how to say words. And I was like, you know, sometimes you meet somebody with a like a mind.
Again, half switching, and it's extreme.
Exactly. That, again, the fact that was you, Zach, and that you did this voice. I don't think I'm ever going to forget that. That was the best thing to happen to me in a long time.
Very surprising.
In case you're joining us just now, you're listening to Lost and Rewound on Radio Free Brooklyn, and we're talking with longtime friend Jimmy Hoffman. Our esteemed guest is Zachary Poots. We've gone through half, and we still have a little more to go. And by a little more, I mean the other half. So what do you think so far?
I don't even know where to begin. It's really fun. It's funny to hear all these old voices and stuff. It's definitely giving me a bunch of like nostalgia. I'm remembering parts of like the basement a lot.
Right, because you guys were recording specifically in your basement.
Yeah, it had like this really green, gross rug, like a carpet.
Oh,
really,
God, like, yeah. That was god-awful, that rug.
Yeah, I remember that hole in the wall from the Power Rangers head. Yeah, that brother threw.
So, like, Zach had an older brother, 7 years older than Zach, right, and so 6 years older than me. And we used to, when we were kids, always try to play jokes on his brother. Mostly, were like if his brother had a girl over at the house, mm-hmm. we would bust in and like moon him, or Zach would do a truffle shuffle or something like that.
Oh yes, that's I've heard these stories before.
Yeah,
it's all coming to me now.
And then there was one time we were running away from him. and his brother chased us and threw a Power Ranger doll at us, like, really hard.
Like a ninja star. It went through the door.
It went through the door.
Yeah.
And then there was another time when he threw an onion at me. Did you hear that one where he threw an onion at me?
An onion?
Yeah. Do you remember this, Zach?
No.
You don't remember the time he threw the onion at me? This time we were running. I was trying to run upstairs, and he hit me in the back of the head with like a really big yellow onion, and the onion exploded into a million pieces, and he hit me direct, and I sort of like spun out. I remember that he hit me in the head. It was such a direct hit that I just like fell to the ground, and I kind of couldn't believe what had happened. I feel like in a lot of those instances growing up, like if it was something that was really awesome and cool, I didn't care if it hurt, you know?
Yeah, but Jim, I mean, the thing is, be clear about, as our group of friends, you know, got older, and even when we were younger, if somebody got hurt, it was like, it was Jim. Like, Jim was the kid that would, like, that would accidentally hurt his ankle, and, like, or Jim would get hit in the mouth with a snowball.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, the day, it was like, Jim.
Day's over.
Jim was like, you was managed, you got banged up, man. We would, like, try something stupid. It was always you getting launched.
Oh, do you remember when your brother, he tried to give me an atomic wedgie one time? And if for those of you out there that don't know what an atomic wedgie is, that's where you get the underwear and you pull it out of the back of the guy's pants and you put it over the top of the person's head. So he tried to do that to me, and he was trying to get it over the top of my head, and he was like yanking it up, and it just wasn't quite elastic enough, and he like dropped me. And Zach used to have these couches, and on the back of the couch it was like wood. It was this wooden back, but it was like the whole back. And I slipped out of his hand, and my head smacked off the wooden couch. I do remember that one.
So many,
again, party
like
over.
If we had a new candy that came out that parents were worried about, like Jim choked on.
Oh yeah,
like, he always had.
I forgot about all those times I almost died choking. I used to choke a lot too.
10 years.
Oh my God, it's all coming back to me. I think I'm sort of blacking these things out. That there was that
probably
time
because you almost died.
I mean, this one is my all-time favorite choking in Zach's house memory. Zach, I don't know where you were. You were not there when this happened. You were outside or something like that. And I did the Mentos commercial. You know, Mentos, the fresh maker. And I tried to do that, and I cocked my head back and I popped the Mentos down my throat, and it went directly into my throat. I started choking almost immediately by imitating this commercial. And I ran over to your dad, and I just was like pointing at my throat, and my face was getting red. And he was like, "What is it, Jimmy? You hungry?" Like, he was talking to me like I was Lassie and there was a fire.
Was like, trouble at the house, Jimmy.
He's like, "What?
Run!
What do you need, Jimmy?
Go, girl!
Are you hot?" And then at one point he goes, "Holy fuck!" Because he realized I was choking. And your dad straight up almost tackled me. He just grabbed me and threw me over the sink and yanked and just like did the only strongest Heimlich, and he made me puke into the sink, and it puked out the Mentos, and I lived.
Damn, man.
And then I found you. You were like outside or something, and you were like, "What happened to you, dude?"
Drastic measures is what happened.
And I was like, you wouldn't believe it, bro.
This is why that life potion didn't work. You had to go to the doctor. I know the harshness is real life.
I like how the life potion cost $10,000, but the doctor cost $2.
Let's continue the journey.
Do you feel better now, Josh?
Yeah, now I do.
Real better? A lot better?
Of course. Do I look better? Of course I do. I can see me.
Okay, let's get on our journey again. But first, doctor, can we rest here?
Of course. You can stay here as long as you like to.
You're the leader, Josh. Do you think we should rest here?
No, let's get on our journey quickly so we can get Claw's vein.
Guys, Vince, I'm getting out of here. Ah!
Is it something you said?
Can you say it's something I said?
It's something I said, I think. I think it's Claw's vein. He must be afraid of Claw's vein.
A whole lot. If I heard that name, I wouldn't just open the door, screaming, "You little
You little dumb edge. You work for Gods, Vane. I know it. Gods, get them. What are we gonna do?
He has no guards. There are no guards in a doctor's place.
Oh, yeah. Please.
What's the trouble?
Poor people, they work for Gods, Vane. Stick your hands up.
We got no hands. How can you stick them up?
Stop making those jokes to a policeman. Let's just jump out the window and get away.
Okay, Whisper Joss. Shh.
Follow them, bees. Come on, let's steal those cars, the police cars.
Yeah.
Well, you're the one that can drive. I'm only 18.
And I'm 50 years old. But I'm not old yet.
Just try driving!
Okay, here I go.
Alright, we got far enough. And look, a castle. Maybe we can go see the king. But I don't know if I want to go in there. It looks ugly and slimy.
I think it's Claus Vane's castle.
But he lives in the sky. Maybe it's Claus Vane's castle when you go to the top of the castle and it teleports us there. Maybe. Could happen.
Okay, let's go to the top of it then.
Alright, let's go. Jeez, Josh. It's being really long.
We're almost there.
Finally, at the top of the castle.
Yeah, I see the teleporter. It's right over there.
I don't see it.
I see it. See that little door thing? There's nothing behind it. That must be where they teleport. Okay, open the door and let's jump in.
I can't. I feel like there's like something in front of it.
It must be something invisible. Like Vanisher of Doom! And it feels so big! Oh! Then Josh Face.
Teleport, you fool! And let me see your face!
Yeah!
Why should I? And Vanisher of Doom hit Jeff on his chin and knocked him against the wall. And you say, hey, what did you do to my friend?
Hey, what did you do to my friend? Now I'm gonna kill you bad!
Oh yeah, right. Try it.
Okay. Then Vanisher of Doom goes flying. So far, he falls out of the building. Then Josh gets Jeff and carries him, opens the door, and goes into the teleport. Then he teleports up into the cloud.
You were going to say, Zach?
You know, every time Jim gets a line, he sounds so much better and, like, more excited. He's like, yeah, I'm enjoying this. But I'm like,
You seem like you're really concentrated on writing the story, and I'm like way more interested in sounding cool. I feel like that's what I get from it.
You know, that's kind of like the dynamic we have right
now
with
on this
show.
Program.
It just keeps going. It just keeps going.
Just like, as long as my voice sounds cool and I have this cool character, everything will be glorious.
Zach, you and I have a lot in common. You clearly like to create and run the show. You didn't write this whole entire thing. You wrote it as you went along. I can only imagine how long it would have taken somebody that young of age to write a script of this epic proportion.
So like what I enjoy about fantasy and things like that now, I kind of like rules in a fantasy world. Even though it's fantastic and like strange things are happening, I like when people commit to their world in a way. Nothing happens that like didn't make sense. There's something that wouldn't have worked in that world. I guess I just like rules. It's probably why I was like, hey, Jim, don't curse. I don't know.
All I said was shit. I said, it's just like some kind of shit. And you were just like, whoa, Jim.
Yeah.
I like how even you're in character. Yeah, in character, you're like, no.
Every time the word fuck was said during the Danziger Zone, I actually went back and I recorded over it so I was sort of censoring myself. So that was really interesting to hear you trying to basically fan Jimmy away from saying any bad words. Also, you were seven. Let's take it back to the fact that you guys are far too young to be even saying words like this.
I mean, we knew them. It was Brooklyn. You know, I always make the I always tell people the same idea that like my parents cursed way more than I ever did.
Oh, sure.
And still do.
Yeah.
You can't get away from
it. No, it's true.
But in the old fantasy realm, he's trying to keep stuff.
Know, I remember Beetlejuice. I think it might be the first time I heard the word fuck.
Yeah.
In like a TV show or anything, where he was like, nice fucking model.
Yeah, exactly. Nice fucking model. Yeah.
I remember you, when you saw that, you know, you were like, oh my God, we're allowed to watch this?
Beetlejuice was probably my favorite movie for a lot of years growing up. If you remember my friend upstairs from me, lived this girl, Annie. And I used to watch it with her every weekend for years. Like every single Saturday, I would go up to her apartment. We would watch Beetlejuice. I've probably seen it like 30 times. It's ridiculous. It's really on another level. And you get to see skinny Alec Baldwin, which is always weird.
Oh yes, we do have only a few more clips left. I definitely am excited to hear how this death-defying slime castle experience ends.
I'm trying to get to this thrilling conclusion.
You know that Vanisher of Doom is just going to vanish again. I mean,
this is what he does.
Let's find out.
Oh, up the cloud? How come you teleported here? It's very dangerous. This is all what we wanted to do. This was our journey, just to get up to this stinking cloud. Now we're going to have to fight. Uh-huh. My chin is still bleeding. Look at me. Look at my hand. It's bleeding because that's a punch.
Yeah, you're right. From the Minotaur, it's still bleeding?
Yep. What was the Minotaur again? What was his name? His name was Vanisher of Doom.
Oh, yeah. We gotta get that wizard.
Which wizard?
Vanisher of Doom threw a lightning bolt at Josh and Jeff. They ducked, and it missed them, but they broke their clothes. 'Cause the end of it. Whoa! Josh! It broke my clothes and almost got me!
Yeah, me too. I got a gun on my back now. Oh!
How are we gonna kill Vanisher of Doom?
I don't know.
I've got it! Do you still have that rope? And you
say, no, I chopped it in half, but we only have two pieces.
No, but I chopped it in half. We only have two pieces.
Well, good! I'll use my rope. And then we'll make it a long, long rope.
Yeah.
Okay. And Jeff and Josh threw the rope and tied the rope on Vanisher of Doom's leg. It tripped him, and he was right on the edge of the cloud. He fell down, but they were still holding on to him. They cut the rope, and Vanisher of Doom fell to his death.
We killed him, Josh! We killed him! Yeah, we did it! Yes!
Aren't I smart? I knew we should do that.
Yeah, you're very smart.
Uh-oh, here comes Claus Vane.
You know what that means? Trouble.
Big, big, big trouble.
Now, let's do what we did on Vanisher of Doom to Claus Vane.
Yeah, but I don't have a rope anymore. Remember we cut the rope?
Oh yeah, and the rope fell down.
Yup.
I know what we can do.
I got a really good idea. How about we attach the sword to our axe? We both attach our sword to the axe, and we attach an axe to another axe and use it on him.
Yeah, that'll cut him to bits.
Yeah, we better do it. Who are you?
Caribbean for a minute? Who are you talking to? We're talking to you, little bossy. You're talking to me? I'll kill you, you fools!
Come on, let's use them now!
They chopped right through the cloud and put a cut on Troll King's foot. What they did was, what Troll King did was, he punched them so hard, they were hanging at the very edge of the cloud, and their hands were going through the cloud. We're gonna fall! No, we aren't! We're heroes! We can do magic! Magic! We must think very hard and make us live!
I know! Let's get back up and put that melting powder on them. We still got a little left.
But the bag fell off when I was holding Don on the cloud! I mean, on the ledge of the rock!
No, it didn't. You put it in your pocket. And I took it out, and now I have it in my pocket. I'll take it out and throw it on him. Okay, here we go.
Wait, yeah, but he has armor on, very, very titanium armor. And that stuff can't break through titanium. The bars were metal.
You said it could break through anything. You must have been lying.
I didn't know. I just read the label, and it said only metal and wood and everything else except titanium.
Oh my god. But there's a little spot that is not titanium. His face. And if we melt his face, then he'll die.
But anyway, we gotta think really hard if we want to live anyway. Because our hands are sinking very fast. Think very hard. Very, very hard that we're gonna live.
Let me think. I got it! I know what we can do. Let's put...
No, what happens is, we think so hard that we do magic.
I think...
You're doing it! We're flying!
Whoa!
You did it!
Yes! Now we're back up!
I can't believe it!
Now we can kill... Claus Vane. No, you can't, you fool! You don't know anything! I can destroy you in 1 second. Like this.
Ow!
Ow!
We're gonna get him!
Yeah, I'm gonna get you for that, you stupid troll.
Let's see if we can do that again. Think very, very hard to destroy him.
Oh, God. I got it. He's coming apart, too. His head's off.
Yes, we did it. Come on, give me a high five.
No.
Wait. Now we gotta get home. Then, suddenly, a person that knew magic floated down. You have defeated Claus Vane. You are the heroes of the world. Anytime there's trouble, you may go if you would like to. Here are teleporting powers. Now you can teleport back home to your safe land.
Yes, thanks, guy. We'll thank you when we get back to Earth.
Yeah. Okay, see you, man. Bye-bye. That was the story of Josh and Jeff on a doom journey. The end.
That's all, folks.
You guys wrapped it up pretty quickly.
Like, I go, that's all, folks.
A third of it, as Jimmy had pointed out, was entirely inaudible.
But we got injured. There was a lot of, I mean...
I can only imagine what happened in the whole middle portion.
I sort of like how the ending just became an 80s movie. It's like...
Yeah, like George Carlin coming down.
Yeah, like when we're trying to figure out how to beat him, it's like, instead of figuring out, it's like, nah, yo, just believe. Just believe, yo. We got it. We got it. And then we're just like, huh? And all of a sudden you were like, yo, we got powers. I like that. You're like, don't worry, son, we're heroes. We got powers. Like, it kind of built up to all of those old movies, like... The Sword in the Stone,
yep,
and, you know, the Neverending Story, like you mentioned, that we were special and that we got to this point and there was like, there's a reason we're here in the clouds right now, man. We can beat him. And we finally beat him and we high five, like the end of an 80s movie.
Yeah, it always ends, frame. Say that, a freeze frame of the high five, precisely. That's how every 80s movie ends, and that's how this movie ended. Gosh, I mean, you borrowed from a lot of influences for this Doom journey, and... You never heard it again, did you? you said you made sequels, though.
But there were other ones, yeah. I know that...
There's definitely a part two and a part three, but I think we, like, lost our patience a lot quicker with the other ones.
I think you're right. I remember that there was a magical feeling while we were recording the first one, and we were, like, so amped about it. And you're right, that we tried it again, and I do remember giving up. I do remember, like, being halfway and being like, we just couldn't come up with a story that was as good or that we thought was as good. I suppose we're like, nothing was like that first Doom Journey, son. It's just magical.
Keep chasing that Doom Journey dragon.
So you got like a history, though, of doing a lot of this creating worlds. And as teased before, doing stop motion animation seems to be something that you're continuing to do. Is that what this project that you have on Kickstarter currently is? Or is that just like a specifically just like a straight up short film?
Well, it's sort of a reimagined version of the Herman Melville story, Bartleby the Scrivener. It takes place in like a more modern time, but it's still got a lot of this like 90s like crappy computer feel and things like that in an office. But it's all been constructed. It took a very long time. It's about 13 minutes long, and it took us about 7 months to shoot it.
Jeez.
As a stop motion, yeah, it's a little nuts. But yeah, I mean, I definitely, you know, I try to put my, I guess, any creativity I have towards that now, and it's up on Kickstarter. I think the campaign's over, but there's like a trailer and a couple clips and things like that.
And they can just go look up on Kickstarter Bartleby, and it'll be the first search. If the first result you see, rather.
Definitely. I mean, or if it doesn't, then Bartleby stop motion will definitely come up.
I mean, cool. It's so funny that you ended up doing stop motion because. Anyone that knows Zach knows that he's into any creative process that is painstakingly difficult. Anything that will cause him emotional and just internal anguish, he's down. He is down like a clown. I mean, he's the kind of guy where he comes and he gets a video game and he puts it on the hardest difficulty, and then you just listen through the wall to hear...
Yeah, I remember when I first told Jim when I was getting more into it, and Jim's first reaction was like, of course you're doing stop motion. You don't like anything unless you have to bash your head through it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God. I thought about, like, you know, relationships and things like that. I think he's right.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I like things fast and slick. I'll take it. I'll take the easy road anytime. But, Zach, for us being so close, we were on the opposite ends of that spectrum.
Zach Poots. Here on Lost and Rewound. Come back again for another edition next week at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This is Lost and Rewound on Radio Free Brooklyn.